Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
There's certain times when you see a play in a big situation and you shake your head and you go, maybe it's just destiny for this team to win the World Series. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. And we clearly saw one just a few seconds ago, a very roller coaster of a seventh inning for the Rays and the Dodgers. The Dodgers will come to bat, holding an 8-3 lead, but this could have been a much closer game and the Rays could still be batting. After Cody Bellinger is unable to glove a fly ball to the wall that helps put the Rays with runners at second and third, in which they would both come in to score on base hits, the Dodgers make a pitching change. Dylan Floro comes out, and in comes high leverage Victor Gonzalez. Dave Roberts says, okay, I'm going to go with a low leverage guy. Well, that didn't work because he got knocked around the park, so let's go to Victor Gonzalez. It's not like Gonzalez pitched any better. He gave up a couple of hits, and the Rays now, with runners at second and third and one out in the top of the seventh, this game could be 8-5, 8-6 really fast. And with Zunino up, he's already, someone said, had a couple of big hits in the ALCS. Zunino rips a line drive back up the middle. I mean, he scalds it. And Gonzalez just sticks his glove out, straight out from, and the ball just happens to go in it. I mean, it's one of those, it's not like he made a snag, like he was a hockey goalie. He just stuck his glove out, and the ball went in it, and he turned, and they double the runner off of second base, and he nearly throws the ball into center field.
Yeah.
But luckily, Seager comes in and makes a play at shortstop. The double play ends the inning. Zunino is looking up at the scoreboard like, what the hell just happened? That's a base hit up the middle, and the game is 8-5. And suddenly now, the Dodgers are scrambling because none of the relievers they have brought in to relieve Clayton Kershaw has been able to keep the Rays off the board. The Rays were asleep for six innings. Kershaw comes out, the relievers come in, and they start hitting the baseball. They get a couple of big hits, ground ball base hits, doesn't matter. They're able to connect and bring in runs, and that play, I shook my head, Mike, and I said, that's a play that tells me this is the Dodgers' time. This is one of those destiny plays where you're going to win the World Series, man, because the plays like that don't happen to teams that don't win.
No, he had that look of, I'm just sticking my glove out, almost surprised. And not quite like he was playing in defensive mode, but about as close as you could in terms of he crushed it. Please don't let it get any piece of me. Instead, it finds his glove. And as you said, turned and fired, knowing, hey, I may have a double play ball here, but still, I think the adrenaline almost led that ball to be being thrown into center field. But makes the big play to retire the side, the look to the heavens. Zunino with, I can only imagine, a bunch of expletives running through his head at that moment. Like, what the bleep do I got to do? I crushed that thing. And big inning, crisis averted. But we were almost to the point where it was going to be 877-99 on Fox. Did Dave Roberts take out Clayton Kershaw too early?
Man. Tell you, buddy. I'll tell you. Yeah, first of all, this hit was 105 miles an hour off the bat. And if Gonzalez doesn't it just happens to go where Gonzalez's glove is, right? Another 3 inches one way or the other, and that's into center field, and that's a base hit. But it just so happened to go where Gonzalez had his glove. And then I said Seager, but I meant Kike Hernandez, who comes in and almost falls down getting this throw because he doesn't get to the bag. And it's a bang-bang play, and he's running to the bag, and Gonzalez throws it. He's running forward, and he's able to make a grab and stay on the base for this out. But I'll tell you, this is one of, you look and go, man, the Dodgers, like you said, Dodgers living right. And for at least an inning, Dave Roberts can sit back and go, okay, 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 I could just see how this would go. We'll lose this game 9-8, and everybody's going to want to fire me because I took Clayton Kershaw out. And Dodger fans would be conflicted, Mike, because every Dodger fan said the same thing after the sixth inning. Get Kershaw out, right?
That's
get
it.
Him out.
Yep.
Get him out. Don't let him go to the seventh. He's pitched great. Go to the bullpen. We're up 8-1. Go to the bullpen. 5 minutes later, they all wanted to be really pissed. Why did Dave Roberts take him out? But I just said, boy, I'm glad they took Kershaw out.
He was only
at
78 pitches, Jason.
I don't care. That doesn't matter. I want to be pissed off at Dave Roberts again. But Dodgers fans would be conflicted. Oh, so they, well, I'm glad they took Kershaw out. But I really wish they gave him in. Here's the thing, and I'll go back to this, and I'll go all the way to the end with this, is that at 8-1, if your bullpen blows an 8-1 lead in the final three innings, you deserve to lose. This is not on – because eventually you got to go to the bullpen, right? Is Kershaw going to pitch a complete game? Probably not. Eventually you got to go there. If your bullpen – blows an 8-1 lead, you deserve to lose. And that's all it is. And everybody wants to have it both ways and rip Dave Roberts for X but not for Y. But this is what it is. If you blow that, you absolutely deserve to lose. And the Dodgers go out very quickly in the bottom of the seventh. So the Rays, feeling a little bit of momentum, get to go right back up to the dish, 8-3 in the top of the eighth inning where we're headed right now. But let's go back a couple of seconds while this is going on to the play that really started this all. And, you know, the Rays get a couple of runners on, but, you know, Floro gets an out, and he should have gotten another out because the fly ball that's hit all the way to the wall, honestly, Cody Bellinger should have caught it.
Yep.
Cody Bellinger should have caught this, and it should have been the second out of the inning. But instead, Wendell winds up with a double, and runners go to second and third. And he's going to the wall, and he takes his eye off the ball to look where the glove, to kind of look where he's going. And that's not how an outfielder catches a ball. An outfielder never catches a ball where I'm going to look the ball all the way, and then I'm going to look away from the ball to my glove, because that's really what Cody Bellinger did. And I guarantee you, even though he's on the warning track, he knows he's about to go into the wall, he's thinking about his shoulder, which, of course, he popped out celebrating his big NLCS-winning home run. I guarantee you that was part of what's going on. Okay, I don't want to crash in. I'm a little nervous. Because that's what happens in your head sometimes. I don't want to crash. I don't want to. So I look, where am I? Am I here? And the ball bounces off the heel of his glove. Because that's a play that should have been made. That's a ball he should have caught. And I guarantee you he was thinking about his shoulder.
That's a ball he catches 98 out of 100 times. I'll give him some room for error. But we've praised their defense through their stay, right? They've been the home. This has been the home field for a while now, right? You know all the angles. You know the height of the wall. You know how to play all of the bends. And here was one, not routine, but routine enough, right? We've seen these guys go up over the wall to bring stuff back. Here, I think it was just a judgment. And as you say, do it, the business decision of I'm not crashing into that wall. And just all it takes is a quick look away. I mean, we talk about it all the time when we're watching NFL or college football. We talk about it, you know, the plays in the infield of, you know, thinking where you're going with the ball before you bring it in. And that's a case of it there for Bellinger. Lucky for the Dodgers, it didn't cause a bigger flood, but certainly something to consider. But he'd already given you two runs off the shoulder. So it held up on the swing. Here he's got to trust and just get back to basics.
So that's where we sit right now. The Rays and the Dodgers. The Dodgers dodge a complete bullet in the seventh, but now the Rays still have six outs to play with, and they are feeling pretty confident right now as they come to bat against the Dodgers. The Dodgers are now using their high-leverage relievers, so we'll see how the rest of this goes. We'll keep you updated, of course. Going to the top of the eighth inning, Dodgers lead the Rays. It is 8-3. But a little bit more on what we talked about a few minutes ago, in that we talked about the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones is upset at the way the Cowboys played, and we had the story today that Cowboys players said that Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff are not prepared for these games. And they're not good at their jobs, which is just, oh my goodness, when's the last time you heard that?
When things are going bad, eventually, you know, someone's going to start taking their shots, right? Find a sympathetic ear in the in the press corps, as it were. I mean, we saw this all across the blogs. Jane Slater had it this morning. So, yeah, it's one of those that now it's, all right, who's the rat?
But let's look at this. We talked about the Cowboys and how much of a train. It's like they want to be the Jets. We want our defense to be worse. Congratulations, it is. We still score points on offense. All right, we'll work on that. But no, no, we want to be a complete and total train wreck where we don't show up for a game against the Cardinals, and now we're talking about how bad our coaching staff is. I mean, the Cowboys, when are they not a train wreck? But let's look at a different angle of this here just for a couple of seconds, because this guy's been getting all kinds of bad publicity for the last 24 hours because they lost their first football game of the year, right? The Packers lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and suddenly Aaron Rodgers, who everybody says he's the MVP, look how great he is. Now the same people want to turn around and go, oh, look how bad Aaron Rodgers is. Look at it. They lost a game. All right, the Packers are still good. They beat four teams that stink out loud, and they finally played a decent team, and they lost. Nothing's changed for the Packers. They're still the same team. Aaron Rodgers is still a good quarterback, and the Packers still want to get rid of him at the end of the season. But for all of this, Aaron Rodgers is now overrated and all these things. He hasn't won enough during the course of his career. Suddenly now, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I am finding so many burner accounts, and I am tweeting and retweeting this stuff about Mike McCarthy, because here's Mike McCarthy now, and let's go back 2 years where he didn't get the Jets job and he didn't get the Browns job, and clearly there's a lot of he could have gotten either one of those, right? Mike McCarthy had a very successful run with the Green Bay Packers. He was only out because his time had run its course. His relationship with Aaron Rodgers wasn't great, and of course you're going to pick your Hall of Fame quarterback over the head coach. But Mike McCarthy, clear anybody, Mike McCarthy was going to be out of work for 3 or 4 weeks, and then he was going to get a job. And then he didn't get the Jets gig. Okay, they got a quarterback that he would have done a pretty good job being able to direct. He didn't get the Browns gig. Okay, he might have been a pretty good job that he could have directed that team. And the Cowboys basically hire him. Hey, we're gonna take him. We're taking him right away. And it was so fast. It's like Jerry Jones decided, oh, Mike McCarthy's out there, let's go get him. Well, other teams brought him in, interviewed him, and they went with other people. No. Mike McCarthy's our guy. And now here's Mike McCarthy. When you have the players saying that they are not prepared for games and they are not good at their jobs, suddenly now, is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it Mike McCarthy? Now, granted, these are players who are upset, and we're going to get more of this story as it goes on. But now suddenly, I think you have to at least say, all right, I was being ridiculously too hard on Aaron Rodgers. This is just stupid. Because you have Aaron Rodgers, who without Mike McCarthy has played pretty well, was a game away from the Super Bowl last year, started 4-0 this year, and everybody wanted to be a Hall of Fame, the MVP. Aaron Rodgers is so good, right? And now look at Mike McCarthy. He could be one and done in Dallas. I mean, really, he could be a one and done guy, because I could see it happening, because I could see the Cowboys saying, well, it was a tough year with the COVID and all, and so we tried Mike, and it didn't work, but we got a fresh slate with Dak coming back, and we're going to take the Harbaugh guy out of Michigan, and he's going to come. We're going to get Lincoln Riley finally, because I decided to drive a limousine to his house and pay him right there without even signing a contract. So I just gave him a lot of money right away, and now he's in the back seat of this limo with me, and he's going to be the head coach. Like, I could see that happening, and I can see Mike McCarthy being one and done in Dallas.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago. Could he be a fall guy? I mean, obviously Dak then gets hurt, but with their early fails and how desperate it seemed for everybody to get that deal done and get him in the building, that it's just been an abject failure to this point. And wonder how many more weeks it takes for some of these guys to say, screw the anonymous, I'm just going to say it. Especially if you're up and looking to get out of Dallas. Granted, they'll pay you well. They do pay their own. And any guy that wants to stay in Dallas, they certainly seem to find the money for. But yeah, this Mike McCarthy deal, I mean, who was it? I think it was Ryan Clark, among other guys, that just said, look, he's running the same offense he did from the Super Bowl all those years ago, right? The Packers-Steelers Super Bowl. And then it's like, all right, we can tell you what's going to happen on this play. Basically, the predictive abilities that Tony Romo got such credit for a while, that it's the same thing with ex-players going, oh, yeah, this is the same look that they gave us here and here, and it hadn't been updated. What happens eventually, every defense catches on. Hey, they haven't changed the script. Look at this. It's one of these three plays from this set. So it's a bad look right now. And you already have, after 6 weeks, when you're still leading the division, triple underscore. Doesn't mean that it's good, but you're still leading the division. And you've got people calling out your coaches for their effort and for their acumen. Normally, we don't get this till late in the season. This is normally December. All right, now we're counting the days till our vacations. This is week six, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, the Jets are counting. I mean, look, I'm sure Adam Gase has a lot of stuff planned because, look, he's rich as blank, right? He's got a lot of money.
Well, he's told us that, yeah.
He's got all kinds of stuff planned. Certain teams, yeah, they planned, all right. But this is the Dallas Cowboys, and you're still with a chance to win the NFC East and all this crazy-ass stuff going on. And just think about this. Just think about the fact that you have the most high-profile head coaching job in the NFL, and your players are saying you are unprepared for these games and you're not good at your job. I mean, so just think for a second, because all of it goes into that. Why didn't any of these teams hire Mike McCarthy at the time? Would have been a slam dunk for the Jets, right? He's a CEO head coach. He's developed a great quarterback. He can come in and give the Jets instant respectability. Nope, sorry. It's not going to work. Whoa, okay. But certainly the Browns, right? Mike McCarthy could come in. He's a quarterback guru. He's built this up. He's got a lot of young talent on the team that is very outspoken. You're going to need that big, strong leader. No, they didn't go with him either. So, and now here you see these problems with the Dallas Cowboys, and you go, okay, maybe now the last couple of years make more sense, and Aaron Rodgers is the guy that's got to be saying, see, it's not me, and maybe it was Mike McCarthy. Because I'll tell you, who's had a better last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy? Aaron Rodgers has. That's how it's going.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers now, after last week, though, he stinks. Remember, that's a whole
right. Yes.
That's exactly. A whole narrative, yes. That comes out here. I did say the team was bum slayer before things, but we'll get into that as we go. The Mike McCarthy is in the situation of, you came to the star. There's a lot of star power and expectations on offense. Defensively, we knew they would struggle, right? Nobody was looking at this team on the defensive side and thinking they were destined for greatness at all. I mean, their best player has been a guy that was out of the league for years, and Alden Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, otherwise, yeah, a couple of injuries. Sean Lee's always hurt, so nobody can use that one. And Van Der Esch missed some games. But beyond that, they've just been terrible defensively. There's no answers. And then we watched that effort yesterday, or I use the word effort loosely in describing what we saw on Monday Night Football, that if they don't change quickly, yeah, one and done is a very real thing. Go and break out the bank and just say, all right, Eric Bieniemy, how much do you need to coach these guys?
Eric Bieniemy is someone who, he was a hot guy, and I want to say I've heard from people that the interview process sometimes is something that holds you back. If you don't have a great interview, if you have a bad interview here or there, that may have been something that came out. But I mean, I don't know. This is just something that I've heard from people that I trust about it. But he's got to get a job at some point, right? I mean, Bieniemy, he's got to. I mean, he's been running this offense so well, and he's got to get a chance. He has learned under a great head coach. You know, I mean, you could do a lot worse than Eric Bieniemy. You know, I mean, it's not like he's someone that, well, he happened to have a couple of good years here. No, he has learned how to do it in a great system. And you look at the Andy Reid coaching tree, the part of the coaching tree he is, it's pretty successful. This isn't the Belichick coaching tree where you coach under Belichick and then go, you stink everywhere else. No, this is actually a pretty decent coaching tree. So Bieniemy's someone that clearly he'll be at the top of many people's lists. The one thing that's going to hurt someone like Bieniemy, and by that I mean any offensive coordinator or a high-profile defensive coordinator, is that teams now, they're kind of shying away from the, okay, let's go get the glorified guy on one side of the ball, and they want more of the CEO-type head coach, someone who's going to, I'm in charge of the whole program, and when things get crazy, I will be able to keep a lid on it, right? Because obviously it doesn't work that way when you hire a glorified defensive coordinator or a glorified OC, because it's really the OC and the DC are the co-head coaches and things get crazy. Just look at the Jets. So that's the one thing, is that I think a lot of teams are going to say, you know, we need somebody in charge of this whole program. And we need someone that's going to be able to deflect all the arrows and take all the responsibility. That's the only thing I can see potentially holding him back, because clearly he's got to get a shot after this year. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We will have more on the NFL, more big stories coming up. But first, there is one Dodger player that Dodger fans have never loved more than they do at this moment. We'll tell you who he is coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Tom Petty would have been 70 today. We just talked about this song last night, the Jerry Maguire scene. Quick reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So the Rays and the Dodgers. Dodgers lead it 8-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. A pitching change for Tampa as the Dodgers threatening with two outs and runners at first and second as things have gotten back to the Dodgers' side of things after a very normal and easy top of the eighth inning for Pedro Baez. It was the Rays who were threatening in the seventh. The Dodgers get out of what could be a big inning by getting a line drive back to the pitcher. Victor Gonzalez turns the double play at second base, and one of those destiny plays for the Dodgers makes you think they're going to win the World Series. However, the Dodgers go out quick in the bottom of the seventh, so here come the Rays up in the eighth after having knocked the ball all around the yard in the seventh inning. And Pedro Baez comes in for the Dodgers, the much maligned and much hated Pedro Baez, who comes in to face the middle of the order and gets three innocent, harmless pop-ups to end the inning. So the Dodgers will go to the ninth inning with at least a five-run lead. And Mike Harmon, Pedro Baez has been a Dodger that Dodger fans have hated for years. He has been the most hated guy. Oh, Pedro Baez again. Baez again. They have never loved Pedro Baez more than they do right now. He is the most loved Dodger, and it's not even close.
Yeah, he's doing that Ric Flair strut now. I mean, that, you know, straight to the dugout, like, hey, look at this. Yeah, I mean, look, there's 10 to 11,000 people in attendance, but all across Los Angeles, you could hear the screams as that inning came to a close. I mean, just, you know, or maybe it was just a large exhale. I'm not quite sure. Maybe a combination of both. But, you know, Baez is, well, it's a four-letter word, literally and figuratively, across Los Angeles. And for one night, he's rolled through, right? Because there's always just that fear of, all right, how many times are you going to go to the pen? As you've said, find the bad penny or whatever analogy you want to make, whatever euphemism. And right now, it's paying off, the Pedro Baez appearance for the Dodgers. That just sounds weird coming out of my mouth.
Well, he found the two guys having bad nights. Dave Roberts went to Dylan Floro, who gave up two hits and two runs.
He went quick
to Victor Gonzalez, who gave up two hits and had to get out by a scalding 100-mile-an-hour line drive. He made the play.
He was living right.
Yeah. But he found the two guys who are having bad nights. He has gotten past them. So that's a good thing for Dave Roberts. I found those two guys. Yeah, they both stunk, but now I got Baez, and now Joe Kelly comes in to close the game out in the top of the ninth.
Yeah, couldn't get Floro out of there fast enough.
No.
We got our three, right?
No, no, no.
Done.
Yeah. So getting to the top of the ninth inning for game one of the World Series, the Rays coming up. Dodgers will be three outs away from taking a 1-0 lead. Clayton Kershaw will now have tried to rewrite his playoff image a bit. We'll have more on this game and more on something that, when I saw this story today, reminded me of one of my greatest radio memories of all time. We got that coming up in 90 seconds, but first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Cody Bellinger giveth, and then Cody Bellinger taketh away. And I mean, taking away what could have been a home run right there. First batter in the ninth inning, this ball goes to the wall, and Bellinger goes up and leaps and pulls it down. It looks like it would have been over the yellow line and out of the ballpark for a home run. Bellinger gets it at the base of the wall, leaping in the air. So now Joe Kelly says, hey, thanks a bunch, man. That was awesome. So one out in the top of the ninth inning for the Dodgers as they are two outs away from taking a one-game-to-none lead in the World Series. Love more.
Yeah,
on this
I need
game.
The reverse angle on that before I get too excited about that.
Yeah, no, it looked like. That's why I said it looked
yeah.
like. It looked like it. So we'll have more. We'll have more on this coming up in a few minutes. But this story is just too good to not spend a couple of minutes on. So last night on ESPN, a show did an interview with John Wall. NBA star John Wall, Monday tailgate on ESPN, because John Wall is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. Hey, big NBA star, let's get him on for an interview. And we're going to play you back a little bit of one of the Q&As, because John Wall was doing something very interesting while he was doing this interview.
You know, the Cowboys are currently in first place in the NFC East and can have a pretty commanding lead with a win tonight. But that part is good. But be honest, John, how much have you enjoyed seeing the Eagles and also the Washington football team and also the Giants stumble out of the gate so far this season?
Repeat that question, please. I'm sorry.
How much have you enjoyed watching the other NFC East team stumble out of the gate so far?
All right,
far
so stop
this
it right there. Play it back from the very beginning and listen to John Wall, what he says in the middle of the question. Go ahead, one more time.
You know, the Cowboys are currently in first place in the NFC East and can have a pretty commanding lead with a win tonight. But that part is good. But be honest.
All right, stop right there. So you hear him say four. Now, why is he saying four? Because as you can see on the video, he's playing cards with his friends
yes.
while he is doing an interview. I'm pretty sure he's playing spades, and he was bidding he could take four tricks. So he's actually playing cards while he's doing the interview. Not like, hey, I'm doing this interview, I've got that. No, no, he's actually playing, looking at his cards, making a bid while he's doing an interview with ESPN. He's actually playing cards. I'll tell you, and you know, I saw this and I go, wow, now this is gutsy. Not guts, that's a different card game. You know, I saw this, I'm like, oh my God. At one point, don't you just go, John, okay, thanks for stopping by, dude, we'll see you. All right, obviously you'd rather play cards and do this interview, so let's just stop this.
I mean, seems really. Like you could fill the space with some other sort of content if I mean, really, you're not feeling it.
Like, dude, let's just go. Or I would ask him the craziest question. So I hear that a couple of your teammates hijacked a bus full of penguins and took them on a big ride all the way up to the North Pole. How did that happen? Could you ask that question again? Yeah. I said, I would ask something crazy like that just to see if he's paying attention.
No, I think that's the way to go. Like, you just start throwing. I heard a rumor that in the locker room, you know, I mean, see if you can get that stream of consciousness. It hits one layer of the brain. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
This reminds me, I'll tell you, you'll love this, Mike, because my first time around at Fox, this is in 2003, we were doing an interview with Refrigerator Perry. Right,
oh,
he
nice.
Came on the show with us. He was doing an interview, right? So we're talking football with us. This is like 2003. We're doing an interview with him, and in the middle of the interview, he's talking. We're saying blah blah blah, this blah, blah. And then he said, "Check." And then I'm like, "All right, what?" So we go on, ask him a question. Yeah. He'd answer again. He'd go, "Check." And we're like, okay, what's he doing? And we found out he was playing poker while
That's
he was
awesome.
Doing the interview with us. He kept saying check because he wanted to check the bet and not go forward.
Oh, man, he was going full Malkovich on you.
He wanted to just say, check, check, check. He said, unless he was working as a coat check. And someone would come in and say, this coat? Yeah, check right here. I'm going to check
okay,
the coat
well,
for you.
Yeah,
right
I mean, that, put that it might be stretching it a bit, but yeah.
He was playing poker during the interview. Check. Check. If you're going to play card, don't speak. You know, at least, John Wall could have said, you know, hold up a finger, four. Like, you know, oh, I was just pretending Tom Brady didn't know what down it was, you know, four. I'm going to go four here. No, playing spades. Playing spades, middle of a TV interview.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. Multitasking. That's
Twitter.
Where you either truly test whether they're paying attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time he's got to say, hey, repeat the question.
Yep.
You guys just say, I'm out.
Yeah, listen, I'm really not paying attention, man. I have a great hand here. And, you know, listen, if we wind up getting in the shoe, we're going back 100 points. So I really got to make sure we make this bid right on the nose, all right? So I really got to cut this interview short. You want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at Geico.com. So with that card conversation in our rearview mirror, and check out the video. It is fantastic. It is a final right now in Texas. Well, it's always going to be a final. It's a final now. It is now a final. the Dodgers take game one of the World Series. They beat the Rays by the final of 8-3. Joe Kelly comes in the ninth, gets that one big hit to the wall that Cody Bellinger is able to come down with, gets a strikeout, then gets a ground out to short. The ball bounces off Kelly's bare hand. It is scooped up by Seager, the throw to first in time, and the Dodgers lead the 2020 World Series 1-0 over the Rays in one of those games where the Dodgers have to be pinching themselves saying, I can't believe everything that went on today. Clayton Kershaw is redoing his legacy. Dave Roberts is not going to get criticized for taking Clayton Kershaw out. Pedro Baez is beloved by every Dodger fan out there.
Yes.
I mean, this is
the Dodgers. It's 2020, man.
This is amazing for us. This is fantastic.
2020. We're in the upside down.
877-99 on Fox Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. We'll have more on this coming up next. The Dodgers take a 1-0 lead after one big play tonight. It looked like it could be destiny. How do the Dodgers get up one zip? And what has already come true, we told you would come true when we picked the Dodgers to win the World Series. We'll tell you. That's coming up next. Keep it right here. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, who doesn't want a groovy kind of love, Mike Harmon?
Oh, everybody's looking for that. No question about it.
A little early. Slide Over Baby Hour is still a little ways away.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers did just win game.
They did. Slide over, baby. The Dodgers win. 8-3 is your final score. The Dodgers take game one of the World Series, the final out. Sounding a lot like this.
It did sound a lot like this.
It's Phil Collins, who has his own issues today. It's Phil Collins singing over the final out for the Dodgers. Hey, Phil, can you do a little dance into the light, before? Can you do that? You taking requests here? I really want to hear Sisudio. Can we have that? All right.
Nobody wants to hear Sisudio.
Come on. Sisudio is a great song. Are you kidding?
Well, the horns are fantastic.
Come on. You go down, you put that on, and you turn your car, the volume up to like 50 here. Oh, my God. You're the coolest guy in the world. Suddenly, it's like 1985 again. because I think Sisudio was 1985. So it wasn't quite Phil Collins, but the final out did sound like.
The 1-0. Swing, comebacker off the bare hand of Kelly. Deflects to Seager, throws to first, out at first, and the game is over. So the Dodgers win game one of the World Series, 8-3.
Charlie Steiner, AM 570, LA Sports on the call, our Los Angeles flagship, and the Dodgers take a 1-0 lead. And look, we'll break this down. There's so many interesting things to get to. We have the Clayton Kershaw angle. We have the destiny play of Victor Gonzalez. But part of it is this, Mike, is that we told you going into this series, and something I believe most of my life in baseball, was I was always a good pitching beats good hitting guy, right? The big phrase is always good pitching beats good hitting and vice versa, right? That's always a big thing. But I was always a good pitching beats good hitting guy, but not in this World Series. All right, not now. The Dodgers' bats are too good. The Rays' bats are good. They're not good enough. The Dodgers' lineup is relentless and talented top to bottom, and the Rays' pitching is not all-time great. If the Rays are trotting out three really good pitchers and suddenly, okay, it's strength against strength, I would say, boy, now this is going to be something. But the Rays' pitchers, even their best, are not a group that's going to slow this lineup down. And you saw the Dodgers tonight just slowly start grinding away. And this was a surgeon's precision type game, to go all John Facenda on you. They get Glasnow in trouble. They get his pitch count up. And what happens? Bellinger hits a home run in the fourth. They put up five runs in the top of the fifth. Yarbrough can't come in and stop the bleeding. Suddenly it's an 8-1 lead. And the Dodgers go on to win this, not 8-3. This is good hitting beats good pitching. And because of the way this Dodger lineup smashes. Listen, you look at the way the Dodger lineup goes, right? Cody Bellinger is a former MVP, and he is hitting down in the bottom third of the lineup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that tells you how deep this Dodgers lineup is. Also tells you Bellinger has not started hitting until the last couple of games. But all these players, you get a guy like Kike Hernandez that plays half the time. He's a guy that would hit second and play every day on any other team in Major League Baseball, or most other teams in Major League Baseball. Jock Peterson would hit up at the top of the lineup. He would hit sixth, worst case scenario for a team. Instead, he hits eighth on this team. Chris Taylor would hit leadoff on most teams, or second for most teams. He's hitting seventh. This is how it is for the Dodgers, because they have so many guys that can rake. It's not like you get to the bottom of the order and you go, okay, I have a bit of a break here. Like, even with the Braves, as talented as the Braves are, as good as they are, you get to the bottom of the lineup and still it's not quite as good as the top of the lineup is for Atlanta. There's no break for the Dodgers. You get down to 7, 8, 9, okay, well, it's Peterson and Hernandez and Barnes, and then I'm back at the top. Oh, my, there is no top of the order. It's just one continuous roll on of hitting for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Well, that's just it. Is historically, you look at National League teams, there's two or three weak spots in the lineup. Well, that's not the case here. All the way through, you've got guys that have pop and will make you pay with a mistake. And the fact that you can lead off a guy like Mookie Betts, again, on a lot of other teams, you might be tempted to throw him in the three hole, right, for what he's able to bring you. But tonight, active on the base paths. Everybody gets a taco on the efforts of Mookie Betts. So applause for him and for the Dodgers, aggressive on the base paths, because they knew Glasnow was having enough trouble finding the plate, let alone worrying about checking the runners. So it's, all right, let's get the line moving, see if we can make some plays and make the defense, you know, a little off kilter as well. But, you know, Blake Snell's your ace, right? He is your guy on your rotation. Everybody else, just a guy. Glasnow came in, what was it, a 4.66 ERA, and tonight struggled terribly with his control. He had 8 strikeouts, but also 6 walks, several of whom came around to score, including Muncy on the Bellinger home run back in the fourth.
Right, and that's the thing with the Rays, and this is why I picked the Dodgers in 6, and right now it could be less than that, because this is a case where the Dodgers lineup is so good, and the Rays don't have anybody that's great. They just have people who are good at all their starting pitching is good.
Yeah.
Is it great? No, it's not. How is their hitting? Is it good? Yeah. Is it great? No. How is their bullpen? Is it good? Yeah. Is it great? No. They're solid everywhere. This is why they win 90 games a year, because
fundamentals. Absolutely.
Every day in Major League Baseball is like that. This is exactly what it is. But when you wind up going up against a team and you see this lineup, it doesn't compare. And so everything now is going to be on Blake Snell for game 2. Because if they throw out their ace and the Dodgers win this game, it could wind up being a sweep. I mean, it could be a real short World Series after that.
Well, I played Name That Tune going to 5 games. So I'm feeling pretty good about it right now, Smith.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. More on game 1 of the World Series. Has Clayton Kershaw rewritten his legacy? That and more coming up next. Keep it right here. This is Fox.